This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
On Mother's Day and Father's Day, I often speak about issues that relate to marriage or parenting or family. So today, I'd like to speak for just a few minutes on the subject of relationships between men and women. Before I do, however, I want to make sure we're on the same page. You see, historically, the terms sex and gender have been used interchangeably. But in our society today, their uses are becoming increasingly distinct. And therefore, please know that my position on this subject is and will remain biblical. I believe God is holy. I believe God is loving. I believe God is just and unchangeable and cannot be wrong. He never says, uh-oh, or oops, or wow, I hadn't thought of that. God never says that. Therefore, I choose not to second guess him. I believe he's the one who created each of us to be who we are, and he does not make mistakes, ever. Therefore, I willingly accept that God knows best when it comes to my nationality, to my physical traits, to my race, to my parents, to my time in history, to my birth order, and my sex. To reject any of these unchangeables is to reject how God designed me. And to reject the design is to reject the designer. Besides, even if I choose not to accept who and when God made me, even if society tells me that I can identify, which, by the way, is just another word for pretend. If it tells me I can identify or pretend to be something different than how I was created, there's really nothing I can do about it. No one has the ability nor the permission to change or alter God's unchangeables. So, with that being established, I'd like to make a profound statement. Men and women are different. For example, a man may pay $2 for a $1 item that he wants, while a woman may pay $1 for a $2 item she doesn't want. A woman worries about the future until she gets a husband. A man never worries about the future until he gets a wife. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. To be happy with a man, you must understand him a lot and love him a little. To be happy with a woman, you must love her a lot and try not to understand her at all. Studies show that married men live longer than single men. But married men are a lot more willing to die. Any married man should forget his mistakes. There's no reason for two people to remember the same thing. Men wake up as good looking as when they went to bed. Women somehow, though, deteriorate during the night. A woman marries a man expecting he will change, but he doesn't. A man marries a woman expecting that she won't change, and she does. A woman always has the last word in any argument, because anything a man says after that is the beginning of a new argument. There are two times when a man does not understand a woman. That's before marriage and after marriage. Now, let me add quickly here that men and women being different does not mean we're not equal. Unfortunately, there's a large number of people who don't believe this. For instance, the Women's Liberation Movement that began 50 years ago, that was an effort to establish that women are equal to men. And the problem is that the women made the mistake of thinking that in order to be equal with men, they needed to be the same as men. Therefore, the Women's Liberation Movement nearly delivered a fatal blow to femininity. As the saying goes, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? Genesis 1:27. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created the two very distinct species of male and female. And until we accept both as being God-made and God-ordained, and until we accept that there's no way for male and female to be brought into a sameness, till we do that, we're going to continue to have problems. Therefore, more attention needs to be given to the differences between the sexes. Every young man should study to gain a better understanding of what it means to be a woman. And I believe that every young woman should strive to better understand what it means to be a man, but not with the purpose of making them the same. No, we need to study to better understand one another, not to change one another. Incidentally, women in general are much more open to studying up on men than men are in studying up on women. I mean, for you see, men, in their ego, believe they already know it all. So why should we study? Why should we ask anybody? We already know more about women than we want to know. That's why men have historically been reluctant to study anything about a female except her physical. And that truly is sad, because until we're able to understand our differences, we'll never be able to maximize our togetherness. Somehow we get the idea as a male that if I can only marry her, I can get her to grow up and get smart and be more like me. Women say, well, if I can marry him, just give me a few months and I can really mature that guy. Then he'll be more like me. And then we get married and we find that instead of the completion of a relationship, we actually have a situation that breeds conflict. Yeah, we tend to acknowledge only the biological differences between us, but we ignore the rest. We strive for equality, which is desirable, and we achieve sameness, which is destructive. Sometime back, there was a opening with the CIA for an assassin. So, as you can imagine, these highly qualified positions, they're hard to fill. There's a lot of extensive testing and background checks involved before you can even be considered for the position. Anyway, after sending a number of applicants through the background checks, training, testing, they narrowed the possible choices down to three persons for this job as an assassin. There were two men and a woman, but unfortunately only one position was available. Then the day came for the final test to see who would get this extremely secretive job. The CIA people in charge of administering the test, they took one of the men to a large metal door and they handed him a gun. "We must know that you will follow your instructions no matter what the circumstances," they explained to him. "Inside this room, you will find your wife sitting in a chair. Take this gun and kill her." The man got a shocked look on his face and said, "You're kidding, right? I mean, you can't be serious. I'd never be able to shoot my own wife." "Well then," said the CIA man, "you're definitely not the right man for this job." And the man was dismissed. They brought the second guy to the same door, handed him a gun. CIA man gave him the same instructions as the first man. The second man also looked a bit shocked, but nevertheless, he took the gun, went on into the room. All was quiet for about 5 minutes. And then the door opened. Man came out of the room with tears in his eyes. He said, "I tried to shoot her. I'm honest, I did, but I just couldn't. I mean, how could I pull the trigger and shoot my wife? I guess I'm just not cut out for this." The CIA man said, "No, I'm afraid you just don't have what it takes. Take your wife and go home." So the man took his wife's hand and they left together. Now they turned to the woman for her test. They led her to the same door of the same room, held out the same gun. They told her, "This is your final test, and the purpose is to make sure that you will follow instructions no matter what the circumstances. Inside, you will find your husband sitting in a chair. Take this gun and kill him." The woman took the gun, opened the door, walked into the room. Even before the door closed all the way, the CIA men heard the gun start firing. One shot after another, bang, 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 15 rounds. Then pandemonium broke loose. They heard screaming and crashing, even banging on the walls. They listened to, this went on for several minutes, and then all was quiet. Finally, the door opened, and there stood the woman. She wiped the sweat from her forehead and said with a sigh, "You didn't tell me the gun was loaded with blanks. I had to beat him to death with a chair." Are you aware that in some cultures around the world, the women have to walk behind the men? In other cultures, they have to go before the men. I remember reading about a culture where for centuries, a woman always had to follow behind the man. But then their nation was involved in a war, and there were lots of explosive and landmines planted throughout the country. And, well, some of you already are ahead of me, right? The ancient custom suddenly changed, and now the women had to walk in front of the men because there were landmines. Isn't that interesting? Listen, gender is God ordained. Gender is God ordained. It's God who chooses whether you are a male or whether you're a female. Psalm 139 says that God formed each of us in our mother's womb. Who did? He formed each of us in our mother's womb. And males are different than females. Unfortunately, we tend to not take notice of the differences. Now, as I did some research for this message, I found a number of recent studies that reinforced the fact that boys and girls are different. For example, this is true. Did you know men and women don't see the same way? From the very start of light hitting the retina to the information arriving in the cerebral cortex, this process is different in males and females. For example, a male's retina is thicker, has more M cells, magnocellular cells. M cells are responsible for tracking the movement of all objects. Now, the female retina is thinner and has more P cells, which is parvocellular. And these P cells are responsible for identifying objects and analyzing color. Did you know that female babies like faces and male babies like moving objects? I guess this is not too surprising since we just learned, males and females see differently. Over 100 infants were studied shortly after their birth, and they were given a choice between looking at a woman's face or looking at a dangling mobile. And the researchers were not told the sex of the babies while they recorded their eye movements. And the boys were twice as likely to gaze at the mobile while the girls were more likely to look at the face. Interesting. Did you know that boys and girls like to draw different things? Most girls prefer drawing people or animals, plants, arranged symmetrically. They're more likely to use lots of colors, and the colors they use tend to be warm. Boys mostly draw action scenes with dynamic movement. They hardly ever use more than 6 colors, and the colors they do use tend to be cool color, not warm. Did you know that boys are more likely to take risks and to overestimate their ability? When a professor looked at male and female students that graduated from the same university with the very same business degree, he found that the starting salaries for the men were an average of $4,000 more. Well, how incredibly sexist, if that was the whole story. It turned out that only 7% of the females had asked for more money, compared to 57% of the males. So the actual result of this study is, if you're confident enough to ask for a higher starting salary, regardless of your gender, you're more likely to get it than if you don't ask. But it's not all dandy for the boys. Did you know that boys are more likely to die from accidents than females? As I just said, men are more likely to take risks. They overestimate their ability. Psychologists at Boston University figured that this is why almost all drowning victims are male. Boys are way more likely to do dangerous things, especially if there are other boys around. Boys are way less likely to listen to the warnings of their parents, way less likely to tell anyone if they ever have an accident. U.S. data shows that boys are more likely than girls to be seriously hurt or killed in accidents, like the misuse of a firearm or a head injury from riding a bike. Men tend to be more competitive. Women tend to be more sensitive. Men become achievement-oriented. Women are more value-oriented. Men tend to be fact and idea-oriented. Women tend to be feeling-oriented. Men tend to be goal-oriented. Women tend to be people-oriented. Women live in a short cycle of 24 to 28 days in their life planning. Men plan for 3 to 5 years. Isn't it sad that with so much difference, we're so little prepared to understand and accept those differences? There's an English professor. He wrote some words on the blackboard. I'd like for you to write them down too, okay? This is what he wrote down. Woman without her man is a savage. The professor, she said, I want you all in the class here to punctuate the sentence. On your notes, on your back of your bulletin, you want to punctuate it? Here's the interesting thing. Here's how the men punctuated it. They said, woman, comma, without her man, comma, is a savage. Now, women, however, punctuated it differently. They put this, woman, exclamation point, without her, man is a savage. Now, that's the same sentence, isn't it? But from a different point of view. And that's the way we tend to go through life. We go through life punctuating things differently. And as a result, we often come to a place of division. We end up competing instead of complimenting one another. Maybe we should have the bride and groom make this vow at their wedding. How about this vow? I bind myself to you for life. Having chosen as I please, I will spend the rest of my life trying to please what I have chosen. That's powerful, isn't it? Do you realize there's not a human being on earth who can meet 100% of your needs? This is a truth that so many people fail to grasp. To marry someone thinking they can meet all your mental, emotional, relational, and financial needs, that is totally irrational. Totally unrealistic. I've talked to so many couples who are wanting to get married, and they sit there and they tell me how perfect one another is. But it sure is a different story 6 to 8 months later, isn't it? You know why? It's because they discover that all of their expectations, all of their anticipations are not going to be met by one person. In other words, reality sets in. Listen, if your marriage partner is able to meet 50% of your needs, you are blessed beyond measure. Unfortunately, we human beings have created so many unrealistic expectations. Why, if you have someone who meets even half your needs, you need to thank God for who He's given you. And remember, as you begin to look at things as God does, you won't be looking at the other person at what they can do for you. You'll be looking at you and for what you can do for them. Okay, let me zero in just a little more, a little closer on just a couple of the differences between the sexes, okay? Now, these are just generalities, okay? I get that. You know, this is what each sex generally tends to be or not and to do. So you get what I'm saying? Every woman or man may not fit this profile that I'm getting ready to tell you, but most do. Number one, a man tends to be objective. He sees the world as a material object of plans and schemes and projects and abstract principles. He tends to think of people as groups. The woman, on the other hand, tends to think of people as individuals. For example, a woman may say to her husband, "Honey, did you know that our pest control man has sinus trouble?" And the man's response is, "So who cares? I mean, so what? Sinus trouble." I mean, you see, to the man, all that really matters is that the pest control man kills the bugs. But the woman, she's more concerned with details. Her frame of reference is smaller, and that allows her to see specifics and details that a man often misses. And as a result, a man may overlook or neglect what should be taken care of. For example, a man tends to take his spouse for granted. "Do you love me?" she asked. "Well, of course I do," he said. "I married you, didn't I?" Yeah. What's that, not a good answer? See, the man, he's concerned. He's concerned with the world. He's concerned with moving around and about all the big things of life. He's thinking, "Why are you bothering me with little trivial details like courtesies and thoughtfulness and stuff like that?" Number two, the woman, on the other hand, isn't neglectful like he is, but she does have a tendency to nag. Do you know why she does this? Here you go, guys. Listen in. She wants to be noticed. She wants to be personalized. So in order to get your attention, she begins to nag. And then women begin to become fault finders. "You never compliment me on my cooking anymore. You didn't say anything about my new hairdo." You see, all she's asking for is approval. All she wants to know is that you still notice her. And that you see her as something special. Now, women, that was the perfect place for you to say amen. You don't agree? Women like to feel special, don't you? You want to be cherished. Yeah, amen, amen. Okay, good, thank you. Gee, I thought there'd be a way bigger response to that. Now for the men. Men have a weakness. And their weakness is mainly in the area of discouragement. See, being conquerors, men go out to fight the world. But their ego that is so great, their ego that is so inflated, can so easily be deflated. It's kind of like a balloon. You know, the less it's inflated, the harder it is to puncture. But the more air that's in it, the easier it is to pop it. And since men are like that, when they leave the house in the morning to go out and conquer all the dragons and evil in the world, and then they come home and tell you of their great exploits, you better watch out. You know why? Because when they come home at night, these men, their ego is deflated. And they're dragging themselves home, all discouraged. In fact, you may want to write this down in your note. Men are very easily discouraged. Now, how many of you ladies already knew that? Any of you? Well, listen now, ladies. A man needs a continuing vote of confidence. He needs to be admired. He needs to have his ego built up. A man can never succeed enough. He always wants more success because a man is always trying to succeed at something. He's always trying to win. He's always trying to overcome. And a wife can either push her husband or she can inspire her husband. She can either make him or she can break him. Now, ladies, I don't want you to misunderstand this important truth. If a man is a success in his wife's eyes, he never feels like a failure. However, if he fails in her eyes, no matter what he does, and no matter what anybody else thinks of him, he never feels like he truly succeeds. Ladies, you're so vitally important. Well, let's turn the coin over. How many of you think you know what the main weakness of a woman is? It's loneliness. Loneliness is the main weakness of a woman. Because you see, a woman being person-oriented, being subjective, she can become so lonely. She desires to be attached to people. And when the time of detachment comes, loneliness sets in. It's like when it's time for the child's first day in kindergarten. Dad says, "Great, my boy starts school today." And mom says, "You just don't understand. I'm so afraid. This is my baby's first day in a strange place." And so she gets him ready. And she walks him out to the bus, and she watches him climb up the steps, and all her world is caving in, and she's afraid the whole world may collapse on him, so she starts back to the house as the bus pulls off, but instead of going to the house, she heads for the garage. She gets the car out so she can follow the bus. She wants to make sure, and Dad says, "Leave him alone. Let him grow up and be a man." Yeah. A mom is so full of anxiety, she follows the school bus all the way to school. And when he's getting off the bus, he trips, he almost fell. So she jumps out of the car. And, well, you know this story. And none of this is to suggest that a woman is less than a man. It simply says that men and women are different. A woman has an innate need to have love and to be loved and to be consoled. Now, in most cases, the center of a interest to a man is the world. And the center of interest to a woman is usually the home. I think that's why a man would rather have a car than a house. Why a woman would rather have a house than a car. If you talk to kids growing up, it's usually the boys talking about trucks and cars while the girls are talking about other things. Of course, if a man's going to take on the world, I mean, he does have to have something to get there in, right? So he gets the car. And that's the man's world, you know, business and work and the action out there. And that's why it's so easy for men to let work become their obsession and often become totally unaware of their wives' loneliness. For the man, their interest is the whole world, the whole world. But the woman, there's just one little place in the world that's the center of her interest, and that's the home. That's where her creative part is, the home, the children. She's a queen here. She gathers this unto herself and feels that I don't need a bigger home, I just need a better home. That's her subjectivity kicking in again. Now, what I'm trying to suggest this morning is instead of letting our differences complicate our marriage, we should have our differences complement our marriage. Haven't you noticed the things that go together are often very different? Ever heard of peaches and cream? Very different, but they're delicious together. And what good are two keys without a lock? No, we need the differences in order to make things work properly. And the Bible makes it clear that oneness in marriage results from the union of opposites. That's why I say again, men and women are different. Amen? Anyway, as we conclude, I want to say one final thing to make us think just a little bit more. First, for the men. If you men treat your wives the way you want them to treat you, you will fail miserably as a husband. Let me say that again. If you treat your wives the way you want them to treat you, you'll fail. Women don't want to be treated like a man. They want to be treated like a woman. Even the women that want to be equal with men and do the men, they hate it when the men talk to them or treat them like men. They want to be treated like men. And women, if you treat your husbands the way you want to be treated, are you hearing me? You'll fail miserably as a wife. Men want to be treated like men. And so here's a suggestion. Why don't we just lay down our selfishness? Let's just lay down our stubbornness. And let's just simply say, hey, wife, hey, husband, you are different. And I'm going to start treating you the way you want to be treated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the greatness of your creation, for the wonderful creation, the innovation, Lord, of the different sexes. What an incredible plan to make us different so we can complement each other, to make us different so that together we can make each other more than we could ever be apart. Please give us understanding hearts. Help us to develop tolerance and patience as we grow in our relationships with each other. Lord, I pray that as men, we will find a place of opening up and sharing intimately with our wives. And I also pray that these women will have a new willingness and desire to understand and to grow in respect for their husbands. We invite you, Lord, to change us so we can help our family reflect the kingdom of God on earth. And Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.